listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Donut of Destiny, the podcast on all things cardiac CT for anyone interested in cardiovascular imaging. My name is Praveen Ranganath, and I'm a radiologist from Dallas, Texas. Today, I'd like to start off a series of episodes called Technologist Perspectives. We as cardiac imagers work hand in hand with our technologists to optimize image quality and, together, provide the best patient care that we can. It's therefore vital for us as imagers to build a strong relationship with our technologists and learn from one another. To help start off the series, I brought on an esteemed guest, a superstar cardiac CT technologist and a friend, Nicole Nikki Weber. Nikki, welcome onto the podcast.
Hi, thanks. It's great to be here with you.
Of course. Thank you very much for coming on. Nikki, I want to get started just with a quick bio. Could you tell us where you're currently working, and then we'll go into more of your story in cardiac CT so far?
Sure. I work at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and I'm a CT tech. I've been here for, it'll be 29 years in radiology, and 25 of those have been in CT. So I've been doing CT for a long time. I currently work in the CT Clinical Innovation Center, so a little more on the innovative research and clinical side, kind of protocol development and such.
Got you. So you mentioned you've been doing cardiac CT for 25 years now. Could you talk to us a bit about some of your first experiences learning and performing cardiac CT?
Yeah, so that is a long time ago to have to remember from. So thankfully, I don't have traumatic memories of that time. I had an excellent support group. And when we got started, so here at Mayo, we had the Imatron scanners when I first started. I didn't get trained on those scanners. And we also had the single source 64 slice scanners. That's probably when we started really getting into more coronary CTA. I remember it being a little bit overwhelming, you know, pretty nerve-wracking. Not only were you trying to get all the timing correctly, read all of the instructions and learn the technology, learn the terminology, but you also had a huge audience behind you. You know, everything was like new and exciting, and you just really didn't know how it was going to turn out. But, you know, it was a little bit like, oh, I don't know, this is a new thing. So in that regard, it was very exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time. But yeah, we had a great physics team and radiologists that were all really, really paying attention to what we were doing on every single case. So it was a very team sport at the beginning.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting to juxtapose against what's probably happening in a lot of large volume centers around the country, where there may not be that big group of people in the scanner for every single case. You mentioned that there's radiologists, that there's physicists, I presume maybe even vendors and the initial components of exams were in the room too. Could you talk about where you were getting guidance from in performing those initial CTs? Was it primarily from your physicians? Was it from your physicists, vendors, or a combination of everything?
It really was a team effort. The radiologists had the knowledge of the anatomy and how the blood's supposed to flow on a patient. And, you know, and the physicists had the information about how the scanner is going to work and how fast the scan was going to be. And, you know, they're helping with all the math. There's a lot of math and not enough fingers to go around. I guess that was probably a good thing to have so many people in the area. But the vendors definitely helped at the beginning too. And just as a community, the whole cardiology community was working together to provide education for amongst different institutions, you know, so there was a lot of collaborating.
Great. I want to talk about what some of the more difficult parts about learning cardiac CT would be from the technologist perspective. There's plenty that are in our SCCT community that are new to cardiac CT, both in terms of physicians and in terms of technologists. From your perspective, what would have been or what were the most difficult parts of initially learning cardiac CT relative to other CT?
Yeah, I think the terminology and the different scan modes, I feel like you're just increasing the variables. You have to think about their heart rate, You have to think about their respiratory, you know, holding their breath. There's all the cardiac medications. You know, there's a lot of mental gymnastics that's happening. You know, you're kind of trying to multitask and trying to get everything done at different times. You know, you're worried about the nitro and trying to give that and scan at the right time. I don't want to scare anybody away, because any technologist is able to learn this. I know you have the knowledge to do it, and hopefully you have some support behind with your physicians, whether it's the cardiologist or radiologist. Hopefully you have the ability to work as a group, you know, maybe one or two technologists working together. But yeah, just trying to get all the education and the training that you can in order to really hone your skills on this. And, you know, ECG editing, now that's a whole nother conversation that you really have to learn on the job. It's really difficult to train that ahead of time. But as far as scanning and working through the protocols, they kind of build on each other. So if you're doing a coronary calcification study, that's a pretty simple non-contrast exam, or maybe even the thoracic CTA. You know, once you get those skills down and you kind of master that part of it, then you can branch out and add the contrast, add the cardiac medications, you know, do your structural heart things. So
let's then try not to scare away some of those that are new to cardiac CT and talk about what has gotten easier over time. So you've had the privilege of practicing during the infancy of cardiac CT, and now you have a perspective when cardiac CT is quite robust and quite a mature modality. How have things gotten easier, particularly from the perspective of you as a technologist?
They definitely have a lot of tools on the scanners that will help you with your technique. It will help you with the ECG gating has become more robust and a little more forgiving, I guess, if you will. There's things that will help you with the phase that in order to try to get the right phase so that the images are motion free. There's a lot of technical aspects that the scanners have provided that from the vendors. The different vendors have different ways of fixing things so that you don't have to manually fix them quite as much yourself. So for someone who's new to the ECG gating, you know, it's a little bit easier to figure that out.
Perfect. Now, obviously, optimizing image quality is far more than just selecting the correct protocol or having the best scanner model or whatever it may be. There's technologist intricacies, almost intangible components to how the images are being acquired, how the patient is being brought through the whole experience that, frankly, a lot of younger physicians just aren't aware of. So could you talk us through some examples of these techniques that are employed by our technologists today to help optimize image quality that our physicians out there, particularly our younger physicians, may just be completely unaware of?
The first thing that comes to mind is a phrase that Dr. Breen, who I work with, he coined this phrase, and it's verbal sedation. He said, there's all kinds of tips and tricks out there, but the verbal sedation, being calm and centered and explain to the patient what's going to happen, just being very kind to them and making sure that they don't have any fears, which will raise their heart rate. When it comes to the little children, it's trying to get them on the table. And, you know, we've had to ride the scanner tables quite a bit to show them it's okay. And there's even some adults that, you know, if you stand there, we hold their hand. We assure them that everything is going to be okay. Getting the patient comfortable when they get into the position. Sometimes their arms just don't work. Their shoulders just don't work. And so you really have to help them position correctly, making sure that the IV doesn't hurt, you know, making sure that it's working correctly. And I know that the nurses they have a lot of questions that they get asked, if that's how your procedure goes, if you have nurses that are assessing the patients, and they kind of act as a go-between between what the radiologist has asked us to do and then what we're going to perform. You know, they kind of help bridge that gap and answer some of the more medical questions that the patients are going to have.
Perfect. I'd like to now get a bit of your advice for two different populations, for our physicians to build a stronger relationship with their technologists at their institutions, as well as younger technologists in terms of finding resources for how to learn the either basics or advanced components of cardiac CT. So let's start with the physician side first. Are there anything in terms of strong suggestions you'd have for physicians across the country or across the world to understand the role of a cardiac CT technologist and help build that relationship to maximize success in providing best quality images and therefore best patient care?
Praveen, you talked about this earlier and that you said our practices are becoming more separate, where the techs provide great images and the radiologists or the physicians there, they don't have to go to the scanner as much. So my first thing of advice would be to just go to the scanner, get to know the techs, get to know the work area, understand the not just the protocols themselves, but understand the workflow. How does the patient get from the front desk to the scan room? And then how do the images get to you? There's a lot of steps that a patient will go through. And I think if you understand some of the nuances, you know, where you might be able to help out in that workflow, you know, maybe there's some struggles. Maybe the nurses have struggles. Maybe the techs have struggles. And if you can kind of help get that team a little bit more cohesive, I think that would be helpful. Listen to the techs if they've got questions, hear what they're saying and offer guidance or maybe ask why they're questioning. You know, do you really want that IV on the left side? You know, maybe someone new coming in and that's years of experience. Like, usually we put these on the right side of the right arm, but, you know, maybe there's a reason. And so just by explaining yourself, the tech's going to learn. And also then it helps bridge that, gets a dialogue going. If your training has not involved injecting IV contrast, I think that if you could go in the room and feel that, they call it the thrill. If you can put your hand on the patient's arm and feel that contrast going through their vein in their arm, and then see the actual physical response that the patient has, I think that it will help you understand that whole process a little bit better and understand what the patients are going through, and maybe help you answer questions if you are the one that is going to be getting the question from the patient. You know, I think you can answer those questions better. I said, you know, get to know the protocols for your institution. Work as a team with the physics team and also the technologists, the expert technologists in your area. If you keep getting the same image quality that's not favorable for a certain protocol that you are ordering, you know, maybe go to the techs and say, I'm not getting the answers that I want from this protocol. Is there a different protocol I should be ordering? Or maybe that protocol needs to have some quality assurance done on it. You know, maybe there's something that you can work together. And, you know, maybe the techs are also sitting there at the scanner. They're seeing the PE studies or the PEs that are not supposed to be, you know, incidental findings. They might be coming to you with those kinds of questions. And, you know, can you look at this? Try not to roll your eyes. Try to. I've never had anybody roll their eyes at me, but I feel like I could see it when I'm calling them on the phone. I feel like I could see them doing that. But anyway, just encourage your team to gain education, internal and external, and work together as a team to provide great patient care in order to get the best image quality for your patients.
That was brilliant. And I think that dovetails nicely into the next piece of advice I'd like to get from you. And that's for our technologists out there, specifically those that are either new to cardiac CT or those that are anticipating being asked doing it at whatever institution they're going to be practicing at. I think it's quite common for a lot of our fully employed technologists and PRN technologists to be at places that do all sorts of different cardiac CT. So having that skill set is so key to making yourself valuable at whatever place you practice. Do you have ideas as to specific suggestions or even resources that could be used for our technologists out there?
I guess the first thing I would ask the tech to do is just to continually seek information, whether it's from some of the vendors have actual websites that you could go to for information, for education. They can also provide on-site information if you have an applications training session. The second thing I think is to go to the SCCT website, and there is some specific training. And that's one thing that I'm on the tech education committee, and we are trying to get education for technologists that's given to them by technologists. One thing that I noticed in there was that all the information out there was from physicians for physicians. And so that is one thing that is part of our mission. And there is a three-part series that we have for technologists that's been very helpful, very well received, and we keep trying to make it better and better. And there's also a thing called the Tech Connect, which is a way that I've noticed networking with other technologists from other facilities is really helped bolster my education, because I only knew what I knew from here at Mayo. And yeah, we know a lot about our protocols, but it's not always the only way to do something. And so, you know, just little things like where to place the ECG patches for someone who has a pacemaker or whatever. You know, there's people that have said, well, what happens if I put the patches on the back of their chest? And, you know, so you get these conversations going, and people start really building off of that. That energy builds, and that's in the momentum. And so it's really great to network with other technologists and other physicians too. So I think those are two of the most important things, is just look out in the SCCT for education. And I know there's other societies that can help too, but reaching out to your physicians that you work with, keeping that dialogue going, because you can always learn from conversations that are happening in the work area, conversations that are happening in the assessment area, or even in the reading room. So
yeah, that's exactly what I think is needed out there for our technologists that are craving education, is specific resources that may be out there. And Nikki, you touched on quite a few of them. This is perfect. One of which you mentioned is an offering from the SCCT Technologist Education Committee. And you have a pretty important role on this committee. Could you talk about the committee itself, what the function of the committee is within SCCT, and your specific role?
Sure. So currently I'm the chair of the Tech Education Committee. It is a committee of technologists, and nurses can join that too. When I started in 2018, Dr. Williamson had kind of encouraged me to get involved. And I think that as a whole, the SCCT Society was realizing that the radiologists and the cardiologists could know everything there is to know about CT and cardiac CT in general, but if they didn't have good training from their technologists, that it wasn't going to, you know, if the images that they were going to get from the scanner weren't going to be great. And so they really realized that they needed to emphasize that. And so that's where they kind of have started supporting it. Dr. Williamson actually had one of his goals during his presidency was tech education, and he stuck to it. And there's so many wonderful physicians that are supporting us, and the society as a whole is supporting our efforts. We are gaining a lot of momentum. And as I said, our mission is to have education that is for technologists, by technologists. We're increasing our educational efforts. We've got 1 hour symposiums, just kind of like a 1 hour webinar. The evenings, we know that the tech time, everybody's time is precious. And so we're trying to put these things into concise little packages for everyone. This year at the annual scientific meeting for the SCCT in July, we actually have a hands-on course, which will be 4 hours. And the first 2 hours are dedicated to the pre and post tips and tricks for exams. So if you have someone who comes in with a scar on their chest and you're supposed to do a coronary CTA, that's going to change if the radiologist didn't know about it, or, you know, it could lead you to think, oh, maybe they have some sort of congenital heart surgery or whatever, you know. So those kinds of tips and tricks that are not always the very easiest to train technologists. That's what we're hoping to be able to do. We want to go through a lot of cases so that the techs can see, rather than just a static images, we want to try to go through cases and review that. And we have some physicians that are going to be joining us. And then the second half of it is for the 3D post-processing. And again, we need to have that education out there, because a lot of facilities, they don't have a 3D lab. And so the techs are at the scanner either trying to do it, or maybe the physicians, maybe the radiologists are back in the reading room and they're trying to do it. And let's all work at the top of our job. You can do the reading part of it, and I'll do the art part, the scanning, and I'm good at the artistic part of it. So we're pretty excited. We're fortunate to have a society that is so supportive of us. And like I said, we're gaining a ton of momentum. I also recently joined the board of directors. So having that support is very exciting.
Nikki, this is great. I think you've touched on so many different topics that I would like to cover in this podcast series. There's ideas behind how to create a protocol, how to identify patient-specific markers that may tip you off that maybe a particular protocol isn't quite the right one and we should be using this one instead. Adequate lead placement, particularly in challenging settings, as you had mentioned, pacemakers, prior CABG, whatever it may be. Breathing instructions, how to get appropriate breathing instructions to patients. How about breathing instructions in patients that don't speak English? How about patients that are unable to understand any language, that are nonverbal, children? There's things even beyond that, like how to get appropriate line placement, how to select appropriate contrast volumes, what injection protocol we need, and 3D imaging, post-processing, 3D laboratory creation. There's so many interesting ideas that I'd love to hear from all of our technologist leaders out there. So you've paved the way for, I think, a great upcoming set of episodes. So super, super appreciative of that, Nikki. Thank you very much for coming on. Any final thoughts before we conclude?
I just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to give our technologist perspective. It really does mean a lot. And cardiac scanning is a team effort. It's a team sport. And the better your team is at communicating and helping take care of the patients, I think the better your outcome of your images, the better your experience is going to be for your patients. And so I really think that this is a great way to get some of that information out there. I'm sure that the technologists will really appreciate that. So, and I hope that the radiologists and cardiologists will have a good experience also. It does bridge that gap, and that there are sometimes some translation problems. You know, we talk our language and you talk your language. And so it'd be good to have a translation chart there for us.
Absolutely. Well said, Nikki. This is very much a team sport. The person at the center of this is our patients. And we want to make sure we provide the best possible care we can. That it means that we need to work together in this. We need to start learning each other's languages. So super appreciative. Big kudos for you for building the CT program at Mayo. You're a critical component of that. You've seen cardiac CT from its birth to where it is now, a very mature practice that's providing high quality care for so many patients out there. So from us and the podcast, from us at SSCT, thank you very, very much for everything that you do, Nikki. Really, thank you.
You're welcome.
For our listeners out there, of course, thank you too for tuning in. Hopefully you found this episode and all the future episodes in this series interesting. If you do, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. That helps others out there find our content. Once again, this is the Donut of Destiny. Cheers.